Thank you very much. We're going to follow quite naturally and talk about a bachelor's degree in behavioral health that's established at the University of South Florida. USF has the College of Public Health there and has had a long-standing emphasis on behavioral health, and much to the thanks of a person named Bruce Levin, who has been a strong advocate for that. So we've offered, from the Florida Mental Health Institute, the courses for the College of Public Health and Behavioral Health because our faculty have the expertise. This presentation is actually a co-presenter with Dr. Boothroyd, who is sitting in the front. Dr. Boothroyd, Dean Shern, I have to call him Dean Shern because he was the dean of the Florida Mental Health Institute, and Greg were all part of this program. So the Florida Mental Health Institute actually was started back in 1967, and it had a state-mandated mission to conduct research and training to improve the mental health status of individuals in the state of Florida. It morphed into a college eventually, and as it morphed into this college of behavioral and community sciences, there was more and more pressure put on having us also contribute to the teaching mission of the university. And so, of course, it was natural for us to be able to draw on the faculty's expertise in behavioral health, and we know all the concerns. We've at this conference have been hearing this today, so I'm going to just skip through a couple of these slides so we can get to the meat of the program itself. There's numerous reports that have been issued on workforce needs. The one that really seemed to resonate with us was the Annapolis Coalition report. And basically, the statements that are up there said that we know that the people who have the bachelor's level degree are the ones who are really out on the floors working with the people. They're having constant contact, but they're really not getting the opportunity to be trained in kind of the skills that would help them do those jobs better. So, we had to, in order to get this degree approved, we had to demonstrate that there were jobs available and that students would come, and if they came, would they graduate and would they get jobs. So we looked at the kinds of degrees that were awarded in the United States in these areas, and most of them were in the human service fields, and we deliberately excluded social work because we realized it's a very specialized kind of training. So there were 64,000 bachelor's degrees offered, and 94% of those were employed after graduation, 88% full-time, and their median salary was $38,000, 27 to 53. In our community, entering salary is about $30,000, $32,000 right now. The employment potential, we had to provide data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and so you look at this very general kind of data that we are able to get there, but they all demonstrated for all these fields that there is a high employment growth. So that was on our side in terms of trying to get this degree approved. It finally became approved in 2012, so it's a relatively new degree. The letter of approval from our state university system is there. We were quite excited. It took about that much paper and many hours, and Dr. Boothroyd was chair of the department at the time, and he has no hair left. He just kept pulling his hair out, having to do all these bureaucratic nonsense that we have to do in order to get these things approved. But we did have a behavioral health care minor at the time. We had been offering that for quite a while, and we knew students would come. And many of them were psychology students, and they were students who came to us because they wanted field experience. They wanted more applied skills, and they wanted to actually be out there in the field. And, of course, psychology is designed for a different purpose and for a much later opportunity to enter into field practice. So that was very attractive. So we had minors from psychology. We now have double majors, psychology majors and behavioral health care majors. It was actually designed so that could happen. So the focus on the program is on mental illness, substance use, co-occurring disorders. We focus on both individuals and families as well as service systems. Our orientation is, of course, that we need to be multidisciplinary, and we are. We focus on evidence-based practices. We have a recovery orientation. We try to emphasize the consumer perspective. We all have a field experience. We tell students from the get-go that you're going to only be prepared to go into an entry-level job, and that what you need to do is think about two pathways. You go into an entry-level job, work for a couple of years at a relatively entry-level salary, and then make a decision if you want to stay doing that or if you want to go to graduate school. After having worked for a couple of years, you'll know if you want to go into a clinical area. So we just recommend like the licensed mental health counselor, or maybe a psychology clinical degree or an MSW clinical degree. Or they may want to go into an administrative or a policy area, or they may want to go into a research area, and then we help guide them. But we strongly recommend that they go in to get a couple of years of experience to figure that out. The structure of the program is a 37-hour major. It has 22 hours of foundations courses and 15 hours that students can take in a concentration. They have to take one concentration and they can take two. It's designed again so they can either have a double major or a minor. The courses are the multidisciplinary behavioral health care is the first course. And it basically does emphasize that behavioral health care is multidisciplinary, and the book that we use is called Multidisciplinary Behavioral Health Care as well. We take a research methods class. They typically take that in psychology. We're proposing our own research methods course at the current time. They take either an adult psychopathology class or a children's behavioral health class, or if they're in the gerontology concentration, they'll take the older adult course. They take a course in exemplary practices, Dr. Teet's course, at co-occurring disorders class, behavioral health systems delivery course, and in legal, ethical, and professional issues. They have six concentrations currently. We're getting ready to add a seventh right now. Adult community, and it's really adult kids, applied behavior analysis, research, aging, and addictions. The concentrations, you'll see kind of how their popularity is. It's not totally accurate because addictions just got approved. We anticipate that it's going to be one of our larger ones in the future. But right now, students are gravitating to the children's and to the ABA. And the ABA concentration came about as not only as a concentration, but as a required course, because we asked all of our community providers what students need to know. They're going to come and work with you in the area of behavioral health. And as a bachelor's degree student, what do they need to know? They all need to know ABA. There's a bunch of other things they need to know, but they all said they need to know ABA. Some electives, we offer a wide variety of electives, and here are some that we put: suicide issues, recovery-oriented mental health, behavioral health in the family, alcohol, drugs, and crime, co-occurring disorders, and we just are developing a professional seminar that we're going to offer for the first time this spring, and it's going to focus on preparing students for graduate school, preparing students for what we're calling pre-field experiences, what they need to know in order to make the most of their field experience. And also what kind of jobs are out there. So we're going to help them understand this career ladder that they probably are going to need to go into a very modest paying job at the beginning, get their experience, and then make a decision as to where to go from there. We offer some specialized certificates. We offer in the first course, mental health first aid, that they all become certified. Not they don't all, because they don't all pass, but those who pass become certified as a mental health in mental health first aid. And one of our employers that we just had lunch with the other day told us that they have found that they will now offer jobs to those students who have taken mental health first aid over others, because they come in with an orientation and an understanding of how to listen and how to identify and to refer on. And so that's been very helpful for them. We offer a child abuse certification that's online through the state, and we encourage students to get these certificates because we know in the job market a lot of people are applying for the job. So something to make their paper stand out. We know that when they get in there, they're going to talk good because they know how they'll know more. But we want them to look good on paper to help them get their resume in the job. So we encourage them to do that. And then there's a Baker Act certification that they can take as well. Our field experiences are at many of our community sites. ACTS and DACO are both substance use treatment organizations. We have mental health organizations, the Crisis Center, Family Justice Center. You can see some others. We have many, many sites, because all of our students do a field placement site. This is something that we've integrated. It's not really just for the undergraduate students. It's actually for university students all over. But both of these programs I'm going to show you are led by our behavioral health care faculty. So one is behavioral health care in Italy, not a bad place to go. They go to Florence, and we have a collaborative program with an institution in Florence. And so students have the opportunity to go. They do not have to be a behavioral health care major. And then another faculty member is from Ireland, and so he's been sponsoring one to Ireland. They just studied homelessness in Ireland and the mental health system there. We encourage students to participate in student organizations, and we have several on campus. There's one that is specifically designed for the graduate program that's in public health, and our undergraduate students are welcome to join that. We have Active Minds on our campus. If you're not, are you familiar with Active Minds? Oh, Active Minds was started by a young woman whose brother committed suicide, and she set out while he was in college, and so she set out to help develop some kind of an awareness. So she thought, how can all these people be on a college campus and not see the problems my brother was having? And the story is much more complicated than I just said, but basically her primary goal has been to have Active Minds really help train individuals on college campuses to be aware and to identify signs and symptoms of depression and other, they've actually branched out into other areas such as anxiety as well, and to prevent suicides. We have an Autism Speaks student organization, and then for the students in the research group, we have an undergraduate research interest group. So how have we done? Well, it's interesting, I pulled the proposal out to see, to prepare for this presentation. We had thought that after 5 years we would have 90 students. So we don't. We have 245 majors this fall. They're mostly female, 85%, and 15% male. We have a fairly good mix of races and ethnicities, about half and half. So we have a large Hispanic population in Florida, and we have a good representation in the program as well as black and multiracial. Our graduates, we've got nearly about 180 graduates so far. So they started, the students had already been taking the behavioral health minor. So in the first year, we were able to graduate 4 students. They're forever in our minds because they were our first 4 students. And now we have grown to, we have 90 students in the last year graduate. So it's growing quickly. Some of our future directions. We have a proposal going forward right now to establish a forensic behavioral health minor. And that's going to be online as well as face-to-face. And the reason that we developed that is we have a criminology program that's developing a 2+2 program fully online for undergraduate students. And there's such a, they came to us basically and said there's such a close, there's obviously a need for people in the area of criminology to know about behavioral health. And so they thought offering a minor in behavioral health as part of the criminology 2+2 program would be a natural. So we developed that, but we wanted to offer it for our own students as well. So we are establishing that. As a face-to-face as well as an online program. Our university is very interested in promoting global citizenship, and so we are teaching courses. There's a program that if we can integrate global concepts into our courses, our students will get credit for that on their transcript, and if they get enough global citizen courses, they'll actually be eligible for a scholarship to study abroad. So we're hoping to promote that. And then we are preparing a proposal right now to establish a PhD in behavioral and community sciences because many of our students who are in the behavioral healthcare major would like to go into a doctoral program and they feel that they want it, that this is the avenue for them. So we'll know about that in about a year. It takes a long time to get those through. So that is kind of the nuts and bolts. Our contact information here is Dr. Bruce Royd, myself, and Dr. Larry Thompson, who is the program director and really has been the lifeblood of this program. He started it as a minor years ago and has continued to move forward. And Roger, would you? I've got some brochures on our that describe the program. If anybody would like one? Thank you.
All right. Thank you.